Welcome to the Frictionless Innkeeper podcast series. Our show is brought to you by the Frictionless Guest app, which allows innkeepers to provide guests with their recommendations of the best local places to eat, play, and shop during their stay. The Frictionless Guest app is accessible through all mobile and desktop devices, and you can learn more about it by visiting frictionlessguest.com. Once again, that's frictionlessguest.com. I'm Matt Langan, and I'll be joined by Steve Short, the founder and CEO of the Frictionless Guest app. And our guest for this episode is Elaine Herbert, the owner and operator of the Yelton Manor in South Haven, Michigan. Elaine is going to be telling us her story, as well as discussing the overall impact of Airbnb on the tourism landscape and the economy in South Haven. And Elaine and Steve, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Excellent. Doing well. Right. Thanks, man.
Sure. Well, welcome. And Elaine, let's start at the top. If you don't mind, tell us a little bit about your backstory and how you came about to be the owner and operator of the Yelton Manor.
Well, Robert and I met in the 80s, met and married when we were in our early 30s, and we were caught up kind of in the whirlwind of sales and marketing, big city, Chicago corporate life in the 80s. I am originally from Michigan, and I grew up enjoying the beauty of the Great Lakes, and my friends and family were still here, and I was really missing out the important years of my family's children's lives back home, soccer games, swim meets, holidays, that sort of thing. And Robert and my life in Chicago, though it was exciting and I was seeing the world and it was the 80s, we were making money and it was young and exciting. It was basically airports and suitcases and not seeing much of each other, unpacking on Friday night and packing again on Sunday. And we knew it needed to stop. We needed to come home. We made a plan to come home to Michigan to create a small business together. We wanted to have pets. We wanted to contribute to a community, to see our family more, and to make a meaningful life. And so we basically mused about it, put our nose down, saved our money, made a list of all the things that we love to do, renovate, decorate, garden, cook, entertain. I wanted a business quite specific that I wanted a business that was a loving business, a ministry about caring for people, a business that built meaningful relationships. I wasn't comfortable in corporate business. It wasn't working for me. It was impersonal and stressful. And I wanted a business that was about love, that was about having fun and having a good time and being important in people's lives. I was kind of the creative end. Robert was the business brain. And we tossed that all up in the air and it came down as bed and breakfast. It was a very cool thing to do at that time. So we just did. We just did. That's kind of how I remember it. I don't remember us having any inhibition about it. We just did. That's pretty much it. So we built the Yelton Manor in 1988. I scoped out this incredible corner on Lake Michigan, and Robert stayed in the business world for a little bit longer, and I ran the main building for a few years by myself, and then we built the Manor Guest House, the big, beautiful property next door to it in 1991. We had never been to a bed and breakfast before. That's how naive we were. We had never been to one. So we built instead what we kind of just imagined a fantastic lodging would be like. Then we built it for what our own baby boomer generation might like it to be. We chose that fantastic location on Lake Michigan within quick shooting distance of Chicago. We didn't go too far north because we wanted that market. We were marketers after all, so we wanted it to be close enough to be close to Chicago. We built it with things that B&Bs didn't have at the time. B&Bs were not luxurious accommodations at the time. We built them with private baths, which was very rare at the time. We were the first non-smoking bed and breakfast in just about the Midwest at the time. We were adults only, which was uncommon. We built the inn with huge open common spaces and luxurious things like fireplaces and jacuzzis and fine antiques and books and music and really great food and spectacular gardens and really a luxury accommodation. And we didn't know that's what that bed and breakfast weren't really like that. And there was nothing like us. And so it was kind of a near-death experience doing it, but we learned a lot, and it was an interesting time. It was before the internet. It was before cell phones. It was before iPods. It was a much different time. I mean, it was done from blueprints, stick built. I had never built anything before. We were fearless. We didn't have children, so that was kind of our child, I guess. But we were just fearless, and we just did it. And in the 30 years, it's been 30 years, and things change all the time, but the basics stay the same. We do work that we just absolutely love. We meet and greet wonderful people. We have a great time every day. We serve fabulous food, and we make a difference in many, many ways. So despite all the changes, the basics stay the same. So that's how we came to be.
That's great. That's great. I appreciate that backstory there. And what an incredible story. I really love how you had not visited a B&B and then just built it out really the way that you wanted to, which is awesome. And, you know, in many ways, you answered my next question, but I'll ask it anyway. If there's anything else you want to add more about the property itself that you didn't discuss in the first question.
No, that's about it. I mean, obviously, in 30 years, we've had, I'd have to do a back of the envelope calculation to figure out how many people we've had through, but I'm thinking it's in the hundreds of thousands. We've had spectacular celebrations, honeymooners, proposals, anniversaries, birthdays. We serve so many celebrations. Really, the house, in terms of how many people have been through it, the house should really be centuries old for what it has experienced. I think it's a magical place. I think it really kind of rings with a kind of warmth and empathy. The house itself has a magic. People say they sleep well in it, even though they don't sleep well when they're on the road, or that it's just a place that envelops people. It's magic. I know it has a great location, and I know it's beautiful, and we keep it beautiful, but I really think that its charm and its warmth comes because so many people have brought their extraordinary event to it for 30 years. And I think that that brings the magic to it. We have continued, obviously, when that many people are using your house, it's a new old house. We are constantly, constantly changing it and upgrading it and renovating it and cleaning it and making it perfect all the time. So what's old is constantly new again. And so it's a constant project. And that's what's great, too. I think what's cool, one of the things that's cool about it, about being an innkeeper, is that it's so satisfying for me because to do it really well, we're a big inn. We have 17 rooms and we're 13,000 square feet of space. That's a lot of cleaning and a lot of space. And in order to do that, you have to be constantly working it. And I don't know what my thought was there, but you have to be really dedicated to it. But also what really makes it work is that your systems have to be very, very tight. You have to be very, very efficient. So it satisfies kind of a control freak side of me in getting all of my systems right. I can do all that. But at the same time, every single day when I open my front door, it's improvisational theater. I mean, I never know what's coming at me. I know that I'm going to open my door and I'm going to see somebody there that's been coming for 30 years, somebody that's part of our manor family that I'm going to know and that we're special for and that they're special to us. But also, you know, something crazy is going to happen. Something that I have no idea is going to happen is going to happen. And that's very satisfying in terms of that no day is ever, ever the same. And I can never say that there's a problem that I haven't seen before, or that I've solved every problem that is ever going to come my way, because the universe is going to throw something in my way that is going to make a fool of me if I say that. Sure. So it's always going to be, we can control, but it's always going to be extraordinarily improvisational. And that's really fun. That, for me anyway, I think that's a perfect way to have a job.
Oh, that's great. And that's a perfect segue into the next question, because one of the bigger challenges that has impacted your region over the past 5 years or so is Airbnb. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, Airbnb is a really generic term for basically short-term commercial lodging rental in residential neighborhoods. So euphemistically, to make it all warm and fuzzy, they say it's home sharing, but what it's really morphed into is it's investor-owned, not resident-owned per se, rental lodging properties in neighborhoods. And even though it's stolen our name and our brand, calling itself Airbnb, it's actually very little like real B&Bs at all. It's not even really like hotels. B&B and hotels are managed by people on a premises, and we're governed by real commercial codes and real taxation and safety and zoning regulations. And so it's important to define the terms. And it's hard to just focus in on this in a few words, but what's happened is that the market, the customer, began to desire a way to rent properties for large parties, weddings and reunions and getaways. Well, basically, they didn't want to have these parties in their own homes. And so they wanted these giant homes or just homes to do this in. And resort communities like mine, beautiful beach communities or tourist attraction places like mine, were special target geographies for this. A place where everyone could be together without any strangers, other people they didn't know, without any rules, without any management, without any anything. That's big fun, big togetherness. And then what happened was investors and realtors and developers began buying up homes and building properties to meet this demand. And in our town, these investors and developers and realtors also began scarfing up our city council and our boards and commissions to meet this demand and changed our zoning ordinances, and bad things happened. Our residential neighborhoods began being overrun by these properties. These properties in residential neighborhoods meet no commercial building codes, no commercial zoning regulations at all, no lodging or sales taxation. They don't contribute to the Visitors Bureau. 5% of my annual revenue goes to marketing, to the Visitors Bureau, to support the marketing of our locations, and they pay nothing into that to support that effort. They meet no fire safety regulations whatsoever. They have no sufficient parking or landscaping buffers or handicap accessibility regulations. They have no occupancy limits at all. None of the myriad rules and safety codes and taxes and expenses that all of us legitimate lodging places meet. And yet many even still claim homestead exemption status on their property taxes. So they're even ripping off the schools and other city codes. So what really happened was twofold. It was almost less of a problem for my personal business than it was for my community and for me personally as a person who loves my community and lives in my community. It was the bigger issue than it was for my business. So it's a challenge to my business to a smaller extent than it was to loving living in my home, living in my neighborhood, living in my community. But what happened is twofold. The legitimate lodging businesses were met with this huge onslaught of competition that wasn't competing on an equal playing field at all. Okay, so and then those of us living in our lovely neighborhoods lost the quality of peaceful residential life that we had previously enjoyed. And it became a very dark time. Our town was transformed in just a few years from this loving, vibrant community, year-round economy and vibrant community to a ghost town. Our year-round economy, we're not the only ones, it's happening everywhere. Our year-round economy changed to 10 weeks of being insanely busy and the rest of the year were blacked out and silent. Our schools emptied out, our hospitals stopped doing obstetrics and surgeries. There's no teenagers to hire. There's no affordable houses at all for city employees or teachers or police or anyone. There's just 10 weeks of expensive rentals with the money going out of town to investors who don't live here. They're running them from computers in Chicago somewhere, and not just here. I mean, Airbnb is a tragedy for cities around the world, over-toured and Airbnb, ruining neighborhoods and communities around the world. So we've had to cope on two fronts, how to save the quality of our life and our neighborhood and come to the rescue of our community. I was on planning commission here for 20 years, so I know the zoning ordinance inside and out. So I was called on as a community leader to address that and how to save my business. And I was very severely attacked and bullied because of course, everybody just thought, well, she's just trying to save a business. You know, she doesn't care about anyway, that it wasn't pretty. And I could speak for hours on the way it ruined our community. but I'll try to keep it focused. The primary way that Airbnb threatened our business was pretty much the same way that it threatened our community. It ruined the quality of the tourism brand in our beautiful resort town. When all of a sudden thousands of neighborhood homes and condos and cottages are all rented out with no occupancy limits. So a home that previously had a mom and a dad and three kids in it, and now is hosting parties of 30 people, okay, gross overcrowding in the towns and on the beaches made being here really unpleasant. Restaurants weren't ready for groups of 20 and 30 people at a time. There's quiet couples who came for peace and serenity are now next door to frat parties like it's Vegas night. Public drunkenness was everywhere, in the beaches and in the streets. And the cops, our little local cops, they couldn't keep up with that. I mean, it just came out of nowhere. There was a faction fighting City Hall, and that's a long story. The exact same time that all this is going on, the attack on our personal business, I mean, you've got Living Social and Groupon, and Expedia and Hotels.com, and all the price gouging tearing the market up too. And travel and leisure simply isn't what it used to be. You've got the economy tanking, and price versus value was also in the upside down. You know, people looking for, you know, all the advertisements on TV are about $99 hotel rooms, and I took $160 off my hotel price. It's all about price and nothing about value. So anybody serving up a whole wonderful value package, like a bed and breakfast, was on the dark side of that. So there was never any real cohesive plan in our tourism bureau or in our town of how any of this would affect the quality of life in our town and in the community, and certainly for small business. For us, I'm happy to say, you know, I mean, we still had the fundamentals. We've got a gorgeous inn. We've got this quiet stretch of sandy sunset beach of Lake Michigan right out our front door. And the Airbnb customer is not our customer, I'm happy to say. You know, we've never been in the business of noisy groups or weddings or children or dogs or family reunions. It's just simply not what we do. So, I mean, yeah, what we were afraid of losing was the quality of the peace and the beauty of our beautiful little town, which, of course, was wrapped up in our product. So yeah. That was a frightening time. That was the main thing. So we have mistaken expectations, you know, because it's coming around. Guests are beginning to understand the difference between Airbnb and B&B now, but it's taken about 6 or 7 or 8 years. I mean, there's mistaken expectations about what we do and how they might use our property, but we're able to talk them through that. There's, you know, websites and phone conversations. People still think they're going to call up and rent our whole house. And it's not what we do. And we're able to talk them through that. So they're beginning to understand that a little more. So we just stay focused on what we do best. And we just do it better. You know, we're in the business of hosting quiet adult couples on retreat. And our challenges were pretty simple and pretty much the same as they've been from the very time we began 30 years ago. The very same thing. Just keep staying focused on what made us great from the very beginning, and keep doing that. And don't take our eye off the prize. That's to make very sure that every day that we love what we're doing, that we're very happy, that our staff and all the people who help us do what we do, our repair people and our, you know, all the people in our realm are happy, that we're a loving and happy place to work, and that that comes through with what we do. Daily life has to be happy. We insist on it. And we're determined to set a quality standard. We don't want just any guest. We want a really happy guest. So we've never been where we just set a lower price and throw up our hands and say, we'll just take carbon-based units, you know, just set a lower price and take anybody. We make everything crazy perfect for exactly the kind of customer that we want so that we'll be happy serving them. We need to be happy. So we follow our own instincts, just like we did from the very beginning. We listen really closely to our guests. We target the niche market that we want to serve. We invest in the changes and do the work necessary to draw them to us and stay really focused. Don't get distracted by the noise of the things that are going wrong, you know. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of complaining about Airbnb, and yes, a lot of people call us and want the discounts every day, every single day, every single day. They hear it on TV and they want us to discount. And do you have any last minute discounts? And why would my price change today from what it was yesterday? I don't know. We hear it every day and we just stay focused on what we do, and it's working out fine. So there's just so much noise. It was the same thing in corporate. It's really interesting. I ran away from that too, for a quieter life. And I don't need all of that noise coming into me and coming at me in all directions, but it always will. It always tries. And what's really important at the end of the day is to say, no, I came here to do this, and this is what I'm going to do. And I'm going to do it well. So that's what we do. And it's fine. We're having a blast.
Hey, Elaine, what about South Haven? Is there anything, whether it's in terms of regulations or, you know, laws or whatever, or maybe, you know, the residents that are there still, is there a change happening there? Are you seeing anything moving that way, or, you know, some sort of restrictions so that it's not kind of party central for, you know, a bunch of crazy college kids or whatever?
Well, you know, it's Pandora's box, and it opened up. We fought really, really hard for several years, and all the zoning was changed, and all the developers came in, and we lost. They came in and they did it all. And there's thousands and thousands of residential rentals, and people just sold their houses and moved. And so we're emptied out. And the few residents who are left, who are still fighting that battle, there was a change in city council, and there's some changes, and then they're trying to make amends, and they're trying to put the cork on it and put the toothpaste back in the tube. But I don't hold out a lot of hope on that personally. I don't think it can be done. You know, they're trying, and I don't think they have either the leadership or the know-how to do it any more than they ever did. It's a small town, and they do things by the seat of their pants without big planning or without looking at what other successful towns are doing. They're just not smart. There's so much politics involved, and money and threats of attorneys and that sort of thing, and people get bullied, and I don't hold out a lot of hope for it. I just think it's a done deal, and the best we can do is live with the way it's done. I know that there's, you know, other communities, large cities are fighting back tooth and nail, you know, New York, New Orleans, cities across the world, San Diego, cities in Spain and Italy and all across the world are now beating the dickens out of Airbnb. And Miami, absolutely pushing back very, very hard and making it illegal. And the big cities where smart people are at the helm are pushing back really, really hard. And eventually, I would think, you know, in 10 and 20 years, this will reverse itself. The state of Michigan recently had a district court, which is the court just under the Supreme Court, had a district court ruling that these residential properties renting in the neighborhood are commercial businesses. And the only place it has to go now is the Supreme Court. And the communities know this. They know that these are commercial businesses, and they have to push back on this. They're not telling their residents this, but they know it. For me personally, I fought the fight, and like I said, we lost, and I don't want to fight it anymore. It was very, very hurtful and drained me emotionally, and I saw so many of my dear friends get hurt and move away from the hurt. And it got to the point where I had to go to meetings at City Hall. I had to be accompanied by the chief of police because of the threats on my person and on my property. These people making big money doing this are dangerous people, especially in little small towns where lawlessness is, I don't know. So no, I just can't care about all of that so much anymore. Like I said, our goal is to be happy because that's our product. My product, my husband and I need to be happy. Our staff needs to be happy. And we're in our mid-60s and we need to stay healthy and well, continue to put forward this kind of joyful product and service and ministry that we do. So that's what we need to turn away from it and let other people carry that baton now
in terms of fighting Airbnb. I fight it still a bit in social media, and when I'm called on to bring some counsel to it, because I know the zoning and I know the fight, but I don't get involved in it personally anymore.
This concludes this episode of the Frictionless Innkeeper podcast series. And our guest for this episode was Elaine Herbert, the owner and operator of the Yelton Manor in South Haven, Michigan. Elaine was kind enough to tell her story as well as discuss the overall impact of Airbnb on the tourism landscape and the economy in South Haven. And stay tuned for an upcoming podcast with Elaine, where she discusses how millennials are an ideal target for her property.